Blog Talk Radio.
His name is Malik Zulu Shabazz. Malik Zulu Shabazz.
It is indeed my honor and great joy and privilege to be invited by brother and Dr. Malik Zulu Shabazz, who is one of the greatest student leaders of all time.
I'm talking about terrorism now. We want a war on terrorism. The war on terrorism should have started 400 years ago. Bring the flag, brother. Bring the flag. Because I'm here to tell you that false patriotism will not get you out of this. Holding a bandana flag around your head will not get you out of this. Huh? Flag on your antenna in your car will not get you out of this. You might be saying, God bless America. But when did America ever bless God? You might be saying, God bless America. But God might be damning America at this very hour.
What's all this shit I see on here about harassment and all that bullshit, rap for power? You some bitches get a goddamn job and make a constructive citizen out of yourself and stop all this bullshit. You wouldn't have to have no fucking rally for power. You got that message, motherfucker?
Black power. Black power and more. Black power to my people. This is your brother, your soldier in arms, your comrade in battle, Sean Kwali. Happy to be able to broadcast to you live once again in this beast called the hells and smells of North America. The happiness doesn't come from being in the hells and smells of North America. The happiness comes from being able to represent to you the boldest, the most uncompromising, the most hard-hitting, the most revolutionary pro-black stance anywhere to be found in the total scope of our planet, 196,940,000 square miles. It is a privilege and honor to be able to represent to you the boldest stance anywhere known to man in terms of the 10-point platform of the new Black Panther Party for Self-Defense and our 9 local objectives. It is an honor and privilege to be able to bring to you a message from the boldest of leaders and cadres all throughout the hells of North America and across the world in terms of the new Black Panther Party for Self-Defense under the leadership and guidance of the warrior lawyer, the sincere one, the one who is struggling, who has been struggling for the liberation and salvation of the black nation, who was guided and mentored by one who was 100% black man. We're talking about our national chairman, Dr. and Attorney Malik Zulu Shabazz. Send you greetings from him of black power and peace and prosperity. And we come in the spirit of a bold, beautiful, bald-headed black man who they nicknamed him Butch. But really, his real name that you have to give him is the Black Power General, the Black Power Mujahideen. You have to give him his honor and his due and call him the Honorable Dr. Khalid Abdul Muhammad. We come to you in his spirit. We come to you with his intelligence. We come to you with his aims and his objectives. We come to you with his mission to build a black united front amongst our people that will give us the liberation and salvation that our ancestors and we have so desired for over 400 years. Tonight we want to get into the topic how to prevent the destruction of the black civilization, or how to prevent the destruction of black civilization. It's not hard to see, and it's not hard to tell, that the black community in general and in America in specific is in a state of emergency. that we, as a nation of people, are at war on all fronts, on any front that you can think of in your mind tonight or today, if it's day when you're listening, any front that you can think of, we are at war. And we must remember that everything that we do as a nation of people, it must be developed. It must be thought about. It must be carried out from a mindset and position of warfare. We have to be mindful where we go in the hells of North America. We have to be mindful who we talk to in the hells of North America. We have to be mindful who we associate with and who we're around in the hells of North America. And not only here in the hells, but also abroad in the rest of the stench on the globe. You got to be mindful where you are. Because since a slave trader named Sir John Hawkins went into our mother country, our mother continent, and made an interpretation to our people that they would be able to receive blessings and receive wealth and gold and riches and minerals if they would only turn over some of their own people to be used as cattle and to ultimately be made into slaves. Ever since that tradition, and really even before that time, but specifically Sir John Hawkins, ever since that tradition, there has been a serious condition of black people, African people, or what has been known to the world as original people, aboriginal people. There has been a serious condition of us turning on one another, turning our backs on one another, not having the black back of each other. And so that now, after all that we have suffered and all that our people have been through and all that we have as a nation worked to accomplish, being robbed of self-knowledge and being robbed of the power of our own being, now we operate on automatic, systematic remote control. And now we do the white man's bidding on our own. We have been so thoroughly educated into the white culture and into the white man's system of thinking that now your thoughts are no longer original or aboriginal thoughts. Your traditions and our traditions are no longer original or aboriginal traditions, but that our traditions now have become the traditions of an alien people or the traditions of an alien culture, the traditions of the Caucasian people, which were produced from the low side of the spectrum and ultimately that came from the caves and hillsides of Europe after being driven from amongst the original people, driven amongst the righteous black man and black woman, and being driven amongst us from causing trouble and making mischief. The culture of the white man now has become the dominant culture in America and the dominant culture and ways of the black man and woman in the hills of North America, the black man and woman there in France, the black man and woman in England, the black man and woman in the Isles of the Pacific, the black man and woman even in Russia and in China and Australia and Mexico, the black man and woman in Haiti, the dominant culture that you find our people under today in today's time is the white man's culture. We don't have our original names. We don't have our original language. We don't have our original folk ways. We don't have our original norms. And as the Black Power General and our national chairman tell you, we have been robbed of the power of our own being. And so if we are not ourselves, but we are a shell of a human being, notice I say human, human being. If we are a shell of a human being, flesh and blood body, sight, sound, and sensory perception, but we do not have the melanated African mind to navigate our black behind, then we cannot be considered the original black man and black woman. We have been made other than ourselves. We are the original people by nature. So our nature fights with the evils of this wicked society. As our 10-point program says it, the decadent American society. Our nature fights with the evils of the white man's world. And so anytime we set up in our mind to do wickedness and to work evil works and to do evil deeds and evil acts, your mind, your real mind that's buried underneath the filth of the white man's world, it begins to argue with you and me and fuss with us, and to cry out from inside of our own minds and beings for that which is right. We are so bombarded, unfortunately, with propaganda, negative images, low self-esteem, disheartening figures, and a social condition and conditioning of our community that it drowns out the very righteous voice and righteous cry from inside of our own minds. We're bombarded with so much smut television, smut radio, smut subliminal contact and content that if we are not found, New Black Panther Party and otherwise, constantly nursing on what the haters call that black stuff, if we are not constantly nursing on that which will revive us and pull us back into our original selves and walk us into, as the Black Power General, the Honorable Dr. Khaled Abdul Muhammad told us, the light of a brighter sun, then you ultimately, knowingly or unknowingly, will be doing the bidding of your enemy and will be doing the bidding of the enemy and ultimately working to support white supremacy and white power in 2011. And so we must tonight on Black Power Radio talk about how to prevent the destruction of black civilization. How to prevent it? Many of us are familiar with the book, I would say the illuminating book that was written by our big brother and scholar, Dr. Chancellor Williams, where he talked about the destruction of black civilization. Great issues of a race from 4,500 B.C. to 2000 A.D., okay? And so Dr. Chancellor Williams was gearing the mind of the black man, black people, black man and black woman to a past history that rendered us utterly defenseless And he was giving us a road map or a guide map to get on into the later future centuries and later times. Don't tell me nothing about no Peckerwood cracker psychologist. Don't tell me nothing about that. There are enough black psychologists and black doctors and theologians and those that can work on the mind, that can get you together and get us together and get us where we need to go. We have enough within the black nation. We had, hell, long before the white man was ever on the scene, we had those who dealt with African concepts and African psychology. And we were building what the white man considered were wonders of the world. Much of that that you see and that I see in Kemet and in Nubia and Kush and that which we built in the early Mexico Empire and that which we built here in the hills of North America long before that robber and pirate Christopher Columbus stumbled upon this region, long before they were on the scene, we had those who could get your mind together and get our minds together, and we were building great wonders of the world. So why is it today that now we have to rely so heavily on the white man's institutions and the white man's so-called learning centers, when it is evident that ever since we were enslaved and ever since we had learned about the integrational practices of the white man, we have suffered generation after generation, and we continue to suffer to this very day. There's enough in us who listen to this broadcast, and enough in us who are active members of the new Black Panther Party, that if we would apply what we know, and even to a large degree apply to hell what we think, if we would apply what we think and apply what we know and put action behind the words and actions behind the thoughts, we would be free damn near overnight. So now let's look at it. The black community has suffered ever since being integrated into the ways of this society. We have suffered for every generation that we have been here. They would like to present and promote the lie that we have had a better standing, that we have made greater strides, that especially now since the age of Obama, President Barack Obama, and now having a black man in the White House, that we have made the greatest gains that any people could make. You saw Reverend Jesse Jackson. You saw him all on TV snotting and crying and hugging and holding on to white folks and talking about this was what the ancestors and those who lost their lives, this is what they fought for. I don't know about that, Jesse. I don't know if this is exactly what the ancestors were looking for. I don't know, because let me just be all the way frank. Hell, in fact, I know that's not what the ancestors was looking for, and I know that's not what the ancestors was pushing for. I know that this is not what somebody like a Harriet Tubman had in mind when she was freeing slaves
on an underground railroad. I don't even think that Shirley Chisholm, who was running for presidency, I don't think that this was the direction that she was pushing for, that she would have pushed for had she got in office. I can't be on TV snotting and crying when my people are still suffering in the hands of North America and all of the tax breaks and all of the stimulus packages and everything that is supposed to enliven and enrich the black community. It does not seem to make it to the hoods and the ghettos in North America. It does not seem to do enough to revive the black nation. Case in point, just from 1950s, from the 1950s till just as recent as 2002, statistics said that the percentages of black women who were married declined from 62% to 31%. I'm going to say that again. The percentages of our queens, our goddesses, our mothers of civilization who were in wholesome homes and were able to find themselves a mate that they were able to maintain and hold on to and be with for the rest of their lives. It goes from 62% in the 1950s to 31%, and that's just from 02. It said statistically that blacks are marrying at a lower rate and at a later age, while by the age of 30, 81% of white women will marry and 77% of Asians and Hispanics will marry by the age of 30. Okay? And then once the marriage is dissolved, it says that only 32% of our queens and our sisters will be likely to marry again within 5 years of the divorce. Only 32%. While for whites you have 58%, and for Hispanics you have 44%. That's just in the union. That's just in the final steps of the relationship. That's just in the African tradition of being one and being made one to the other. You only have 32% in North America who, if the first situation doesn't work out, then in 5 years of a second situation, only 32% are likely to even make it to that point, where you have 58% for whites and 44% for the Hispanics. Then you got to deal with the disproportionate sentencing among black boys and girls. You can have a black individual and a white individual. They can be guilty of the same offense. And statistically, and I'm not the one taking the statistics, but hell, we're living in North America. We know the effects of the criminal justice system or just us system. You can have a black man and a white man tried for the same offense. And the black man and woman will receive a harsher sentencing, more lengthier time, locked down in jail and in the penitentiaries of America than a white man or a white woman who are tried for the same offense. Both can be caught with drugs. Both can be caught in the wrong. And the black man and black woman is more likely, according to the statistics of this system, is more likely to be tried at a disproportionate rate. And then you have to deal with the economic disparities between blacks and whites that is growing. You got to deal with the unemployment rate that is higher, even since when Dr. Martin Luther King had his dream for you integrationists. You got to deal with the fact that when Martin Luther King Jr. had his dream, that at that point, you had 8.1%, 8.1% of us who were unemployed all the way up and past 10.4% in North America. Now, what happened? I thought that it was said that once we became integrated, that once we were able to go to the white man's schools and go to the white man's colleges and be on the same working floor as the white man in terms of employment, that our conditions were supposed to get better. Another staggering statistic, 17% of black males, black men, 17% of us black men have experienced prison time. And it's really a little higher than that. But they say 17% have experienced prison time compared with that of white men being much, much lower. Much, much lower. 17% compared with some say around 37%. Pardon me, I'm sorry, 3.7% for white men, compared with 3.7% in some cases with white men. Then you got to deal with drugs and AIDS, and you got to deal with the phenomenal high number of blacks now, black men and women, that are marrying other than the black man and the black woman. Say again that 1 out of 10 black men will marry a non-black woman. 1 out of 10, according to Dr. Julia Hare. She says 1 out of 10 black men will marry a non-black woman. That's 10% of the black nation gone from the black woman. And that's just, we're just talking about black men that are marrying white women. There, we're not even talking about the others. We're just saying straight up black to white, and I believe it's probably higher than that, okay? And so then you have tension that is created in the black community, tension that is created in the homes. You have a black median income that's only two-thirds of the white income. That's approximately $53,000 for the white median income as in comparison to $34,000. That's at best, $34,000 of the black median income compared to $53,000 of the white family income. And all of this, again, is because of integration and because now the black family unit, and the black mind and the black mentality has been destroyed, okay? And so you get people that they will always come to you, especially when you become a member of the new Black Panther Party. You begin to start talking to your people and working to organize the people towards positive objectives, the 9 local objectives, the 10-point program, and begin to what we call politically educate our people on what's happening. For example, like what I just spoke to you on these stats and statistics, you'll begin to talk to your people and sound the alarm to your people. And for those of us who have been mentally robbed and mentally destroyed, you run into those who say, now, why are you talking that black stuff? I don't want to hear that black stuff. Can you just get away from me talking that black talk? We raised the question in talking on how to prevent the destruction of black civilization. Why aren't you talking about black stuff? Why aren't you talking that black talk? Why aren't you as into black talk or black studies or black power as we are into black studies and black stuff and black power? Hell, we have to be into some black power, especially today, especially given what I just read, and it's much, much more to that. We have to be involved with black power, black empowerment, 24 hours a day and 7 days a week. You as a black man and black woman in the hills of North America and across the world, what else could you be a part of? What else if the first law in nature is self-preservation, what else are you supposed to be talking about? If the evidence is in and it's clear that your people and my people are under attack and that we are being deceived on a daily and consistent basis, what else is there for a black man and black woman to be talking about but his or her own black stuff and black power and black self? You got to get into this black stuff. You got to get involved with what's going on with the black nation. Every black man and black woman who has the creator's melanin running through your veins, you got to get involved with some black power. Yeah, because if you're not involved with the black power, the opposite of black power is white power. If you're not involved with black power, the opposite of black power is white power. And so if you're not involved with yourself, you're involved with the other. If you're not doing something to build a nation of your own, free and independent, then you're automatically working to build up the white nation. You want to know why? The United States is still together as an infrastructure, and a power throughout the globe. It is because of the black man and black woman. Don't be fooled in thinking that the white man and woman have so much power and intellect that they just run this ship by themselves. No, it is because of the black man and black woman, and really largely to do with even our ignorance. They profiteer and benefit off of our ignorance, and we help to run the nation. And then on another front, it is because we are just the straight up brains of the operation. Anywhere you look in history, of the white man's bloody history on black people, against black people on the planet Earth, there's always been a black man, a black woman at the head of their operations. They have not done a damn thing on their own. Ain't been nothing they've done on their own. All the inventions and all of the roadways and the medical advancements and historical achievements, anything that was positive, that can be considered positive, that the white man and white woman can claim as their own, has been a black man and a black woman, either at the front or somewhere behind the scenes, that has made that thing possible. So why would you not want to get involved with the upliftment of your own nation? You got to be able to get back into black. The Honorable Dr. Khalid Abdul-Muhammad, he said that when he became chairman of the new Black Panther Party for Self-Defense, he began to organize and push towards the Million Youth March. He began to push towards the Million Youth March not for show, not for vanity, not because it was the end thing to do, but the Black Power General, the Honorable Dr. Khalid Abdul-Muhammad, pushed a Million Youth March because he said he wanted to put black power back on the map. He said he organized in the new Black Panther Party because he wanted to put black power back on the map. He wanted to put black power back on the agenda because black power had been completely taken off the agenda, completely taken off the plate. It wasn't even at that time even really mentioned anymore. You wasn't talking no black power by that time. at that time, before the Honorable Dr. Khalid Abdul-Muhammad, we were dealing more in esoterics. We were dealing more in metaphysics. Let's be real. We were dealing more with spiritual principles, which you have to have. But we were not talking about straight black power. And so it was the black power general who put black power back on the map in the hills of North America. And we say black power to him. And for that, we say black power. And so his number one student and national representative now is driving to put black power and maintain and keep black power, to keep it on the map. If you did not have a new Black Panther Party who was constantly driving at you with them black facts, constantly driving at you with the black history, constantly driving at you with our achievements and our accomplishments and our greatness, who would you have on scene today that would talk to you in a way that you need to be talked to? Who would you have on scene today who would be organizing the time, the talents, and the efforts to build a black nation? You don't have many, if any at all. You don't have many, if any at all, who are strategically organizing to build a black nation independent of the white man's nation. Some way or another, most of the organizations and groups that are claiming to be building for black and black power and a black nation, they're directly tied to the white man. That's what I say. In the spirit of the black power general, they're directly or indirectly tied to the white man, or they're indirectly or directly tied to the white Caucasian Arabs, and it's really the same damn thing. When you're talking about building for black power, talking about building a black nation, that's exactly what the hell it means. Black power. When we asked our dear brother, Brother Mukasa Ricks Dada, why they begin to use the phrase of black power, he said, brother, it was because we were black people and because we needed power, and we felt like that if we as black people could have the power, we could solve our own issues. Everything in life understands that the first law of nature is self-preservation. When you look at the lions in the wilderness, and look at the elephants in the wilderness, hell, look at ducks, look at ants, look at bees, look at anything, look at trees, look at plants, look at birds and whatever. Whatever you have in the wilderness, all of that is dedicated to self-preservation. All of that, even if they have at times, because they do in wilderness as well, have infighting amongst themselves. When it comes to dealing with an enemy, when it comes to dealing with a brute, when it comes to dealing with a threat that will threaten the well-being and lives of those who are in the pack, in the school, in the pride, a part of the family, they come together as one to defend that which is a threat against their own kind. That's in nature. Whether it's, we're talking dogs, cats, rats, birds, fishes, what have you. All of that organizes to defend itself. Every other culture, let's go past just the beast of the field, but let's go into other cultures. Every other culture that you can name on the face of this planet, all of the cultures on the face of this planet, even though they have infighting and fighting amongst themselves, when it comes to dealing with an enemy to their nation and their culture, they come together as one to destroy whatever is threatening their nation, their culture, and their rights. And you look at the pitiful black man and black woman who have been robbed of self-knowledge. We, like them, and like the beasts of the field, have infighting amongst ourselves. As we said earlier, traitors amongst us, we have the same elements that are in other cultures. But we lack an essential element that other nationalities and cultures and tribes and prides and packs and schools have. We lack the ability to unify in 2011, and we have not yet found the glue, as a people I'm talking, that will bind us together for one common cause against a common oppressor. Many of us, some have not even decided that we even have an oppressor. You, to some degree, some of you out there, you believed that when Abraham Lincoln, oh, no good Abraham Lincoln, when he emancipated black people in North America, you really believed that we were free. But if you do your research, just look it up. I mean, we have so much technology, it's not hard to find. If you do your research, you find very quickly that Abraham Lincoln, his emancipation was, number one, conditional. Number two, his emancipation was only relevant to certain areas of the country. And then at that time, because America was not yet formed as a full superpower or a full colony, he did not even really technically have the authority, technically, to even issue that. What it was, all it was concessions. It was a concession so that they could pull the unions together and ultimately produce the United States. Okay? And so blacks in certain areas, our people in certain regions, were let go of with chattel slavery or physical control, physical hands. But even with that, the damage was already done. The damage of being robbed of your mind, your brain power, and your willpower, and your drive, and your love for your sister, your queen, your love for your black man, sister, it was already done. If the Emancipation Proclamation had freed us for real, there would have been no need to have a 13th Amendment and a 14th Amendment and a 15th Amendment. If we were really freed in fact and indeed and in purpose, there would have been no need for these amendments and all these ratifications. It wouldn't have existed, okay? And even after the 13th and the 14th and the 15th and other amendments, we still faced mob attacks, and we faced black codes, and we faced Jim Crow, and we faced all types of brutality. Very serious matter, okay? And so this has helped to produce what we see today. It has helped to promote the savagery and brutality that exists in the black community to this very hour. Now, again, every other natural thing on the planet, everything that loves its own kind and loves its own being, it defends its own nation. Okay? Now, you have in certain circumstances where, for example, if you raise a cat up in the same environment as a dog, initially, they will fight against each other because their nature says that they are natural enemies. But after social conditioning of raising them together and not allowing them to be amongst their own natural kind, to be amongst those who were not integrated, to be amongst those who had not been brought up around its natural enemy, after periods of time of social conditioning, you begin to see the cat lose interest in fighting the dog. I hope I'm making it clear for you. And you begin to see the dog lose interest in fighting the cat, because although their nature dictates through generations from the very first cat, from the very first dog, that two things cannot occupy the same space at the same time, that one must struggle for dominance over the other, that they are natural born enemies and they naturally will attack each other in their natural states. When you put them in unnatural situations, in unnatural or unnatural conditions, they begin to act outside of their natural nature. Same as in the case with the black man and black woman in the hills and smells of North America. When we were robbed from our homelands and put and packed as tight as sardines on ships and scattered throughout the globe and ultimately brought here to the shores of North America, we were baptized, and I use that word specifically, we were baptized in the alien culture of the white man, where they made it illegal for us to pray to our African deities or meditate on the power and draw from the power of our African deities. They made it illegal for us to speak in our original mother tongues. Okay, and then pay attention to that word, the mother tongue. They made it illegal for the mother to teach the baby anything about his or her ancestry, anything about his or her past or greatness or potential. They made it illegal for us to sing songs and to sing chants that reminded us of our history and reminded us of our history and told us who we were. They made everything, every source of light that could possibly enter the brain and subconscious and mind of the black man and black woman to remind us of who we are, what our purpose is. They made it illegal for any avenue to reach our mind, to reawaken us to our true potential. And so they even outlawed, let me not forget this before I move to the move on, they even outlawed the drum and instrumentation. And so in 2011, when you turn on your radio, and I turn on my radio, or we turn on the television, as some break it down to say tell lies visually, as we turn it on, it is a continuation of the systematic slave process that outlawed the source of light to remind us of who we are. It is a continuation of the process that made it illegal for us to speak our mother tongue. It is a continuation of us, of our systematic enslavement for those who were musicians and we sung songs of our greatness in our homeland and we were able to play drums and other instrumentation that gave signals and was codes for our people at different times. They made all that illegal and the TV and the radio became a continuation of that outlawing. So for those who believe they're free, or you believe that you're free, if we have not destroyed the systems of white supremacies and the minds and even those who manufactured that kind of design, if you have not rendered them, and we have not rendered them powerless to reign their tyranny on us as a people, then we have not become free through no 13th, 14th, 15th Amendment. We are still very much today in slavery and enslaved, and the destruction of black civilization is very much still on a evolutionary course as perpetuated by the first white man who put this order in place. Because we have been raised up amongst our enemies, now we no longer as a people believe that we have an enemy. We no longer believe, even after all that we have suffered, even after the brutalities at the hands of buck wild, crazy police officers. Even after the United States government was derelict in rescuing black citizens, so-called citizens and black people in the murky sewage water of Hurricane America, what they said was Hurricane Katrina, even after 50 shots were aimed and targeted at a young man like Sean Bell, who was not a reckless, wild individual, even after brute beasts have rammed sticks up the behinds of brothers like Amadou Diallo, and so much more that has happened to our women, the daily abuse and rapes and molestations in so many cases, even after all of this, because we have been brought up in the same similar instance as the cat who was brought up with the dog, we refuse to believe that the white man has been and is our open 6,000-year-old enemy. We refuse to believe that. And so after being completely brain swiped, I'm not going to say brainwashed, I'm going to say brain swiped. After being brain swiped and all the avenues to remind us of our greatness were eliminated, then they began to inject European or Caucasian standards and moral values, Caucasian spiritual values and religious principles, and Caucasian ways of life that were in direct opposition to our black or African or original, aboriginal ways that we brought with us from our motherland, our mother continent. And so it's just like having the car on, you're going forward, and then without hitting the brakes, you slam the car into reverse. And you do this over and over and over again. Whenever you go in direct opposition to that which is right, and your brain, your being, is made on the principles of Maat and on the balance of righteousness, whenever you and me are continuously made to go against that which is good and that which is right for us, it is just like slamming a car in reverse. It tears up the gears, it tears up the system, it tears up the automobile, and ultimately the vehicle itself, because of mistreatment and lack of right treatment, will break down. It will fall apart. And so the black community, us, we are falling apart. We are breaking down. We're falling apart because we are being made to operate outside of our original nature. And so all of these systemic values that were placed on us, all of these systemic institutions that were placed on us, all of this has shifted us from being the gods and goddesses, those who were the kings and queens of the planet, the rulers of this whole scope, shifted us from that position to ultimately being made to the niggers and the Negroes and the colored people and the coons that you see in the streets today. And from being made that way, now we have what we talked about earlier, the frustration. We have the tension that is involved in our communities and involved in our homes. The tension that is involved, and ultimately the tension being so much that now we take our anger out on our own kind and our own people, because now we don't know who to attack. We have not been told now in a right fashion and in a continuous, uncompromising fashion who to attack, how to defend yourself, how to prepare yourself, and what you should be doing and we should be doing during this time that we live in. We have not been told that in a right fashion, in my estimation. Because if you were that cat who was in the position of the dog and you grew up together and you ran across a cat that did not come up amongst your natural enemy, and your and the cat that was in a natural state began to attack the dog that it knew from generations was its natural enemy, in your conditioning, your social engineering, you would defend the dog because you all came up together. Because you see the dog around the house, you see the dog in the yard, you see the dog there with you every day, and your natural instinct to defend your own kind and defend your own nation of people, or in that case, the cat's natural instinct to defend its own had been suppressed because it had been made to operate outside of its natural ability. And so when you see the new Black Panther Party attack in self-defense against the ills of the white man and the white society in this wicked American decadent society and system, when you see us go after these no-good bastards, when you see us call the facts and tell you that separation is the best and only solution, when you see us in the spirit of the Black Power General tell you that revolution is the only solution, enough Negro stuff, when you see us in the spirit of our national chairman, Dr. and Attorney Malik Zulu Shabazz, organize a Black United Front and Black Power movements across the globe, many of you Negroes, because that's what we are in that state, you come out against us, you attack us, you say that we are wrong, we're on the wrong path, that we are race baiters, that we are fueling racial tensions. Not only the Negroes say this, the white man and woman, they're supposed to say that. I'm talking to my people. You say that we are guilty of causing racial divisions and racial divides and whatnot, all of that you say. But as I read to you the statistics and I read to you even much more and talk to you about what's going on in our community, it is clear that the new Black Panther Party did not create the racial divisions that are in America or the racial divisions that exist anywhere in the world. It is clear that the new Black Panther Party did not introduce systemic racism into the infrastructures of America. It is clear that the new Black Panther Party did not produce the disproportionate judicial system or the criminal justice system and incarceration rates. It is clear that the new Black Panther Party did not produce nor manufacture nor push and promote the drug epidemic that is in the Black community. It is clear that we did not produce nor manufacture nor promote the HIV and AIDS epidemic and crisis that is in the Black community. It is clear we did not produce the toxins and the chemicals that are in the water and in the air and atmosphere that produce the cancers and high levels of death and emphysema and asthma that is in the Black community. You cannot, whether you are white or black, red or yellow, you cannot pin that on the new Black Panther Party. You can charge the new Black Panther Party with defending the rights of black people, with being wide awake, being those of us who are like our ancestors who were in their natural state, and we have taken their example to resist and fight against the brutality and the tyranny that is on our people. One major way that the white man and white woman have deceived our people is through religion. That is a major way that our people have been deceived. And so as they were banning and making it illegal for us to speak in our mother tongues and original languages and to know about our original histories and our original cultures, and they made it illegal for us to talk about the great ones from our past and from our history. And they made it illegal for us to sing our Aboriginal songs and African traditions that reminded us of our culture and what we had come from. They also made it illegal for us to read. If they caught any of our people reading and caught our people reciting and giving information to other people, they would be put to death. Our people, black people, have experienced this right here on this soil, that if you were found reading in America after the slave master had already shackled you and tackled you and put you on plantations to work for free labor, or if he sent you to some of the Midwestern states or the Central states and threatened you with sending you to work on the plantation, if they caught you or me or us reading something that was unauthorized or something that would open our eyes to what the hell was going on and how we could get about the situation, that brother, that man, that sister, that woman was put to death. So you hear the statement quoted a lot that black people don't read. But we have to examine why it is that our people don't read. And then as the new Black Panther Party, we have to organize reading sessions for our people. We have to straight up direct the people to books, direct our people to the positivities of the internet. They say we on there looking at porno flicks and triple X movies. We on there Facebooking and Twittering and everything else, and we got a lot of time that we can dedicate to the internet. But there's not enough time that is being dedicated to the reading of books, to the obtaining of knowledge, the acquisition of wisdom. There's not enough that is being attributed to the exercise of our minds. Just as many of us, I see especially the brothers, we work out and push up and we do curls and bicep, you know, thrust and crunches and lunges and we're running and all this stuff that we're doing, which we're supposed to do. I'm doing as well myself, more and more every day. But in doing all that, it's just like working out your top half, and this goes to the sisters as well. It's just like working out your top half and not working out your lower half. If you don't exercise, and we don't exercise our brains, which is also a muscle, okay? If we don't exercise the brain, then the brain, the same way as the muscle of the pectorals and the biceps and this and that, it becomes flabby. It becomes, you know, unuseful to a degree. It doesn't. It's not as strong as it would be because it has not been strengthened. And so the white man made it illegal for us to read. And so we have carried on the tradition as a people in general of not liking to read. You had that old no good cracker that said if you want to hide something from a black man, you put it in a book. Why? Because they understood what they had did to us. They understood what happened to us. They understood what it would take for us to get up out of this destruction and get up out of this decadence. They already knew that if we would begin to engage in study of ourselves and engage in historical glances at our past to push us to a better future, they already knew we couldn't be fooled. So if they cut off the avenue of light and stopped us from reading and stopped us from gaining information, since this is the information age, that we would not even seek to get free, but that we would, by automatic, systematic, remote control, seek to maintain the status quo. That's why every member of the new Black Panther Party, when you get a Black Power manual, you are introduced to a study guide. You're introduced to a study curriculum that tells you specific books to look for. It talks about Chancellor Williams, Dr. Chancellor Williams. It talks about Dr. John Henry Clark. It talks about Professor Amos Wilson. It talks about the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad. It talks about so many others that if we would just read what's on the study guide and read what's on the study list, we in the new Black Panther Party would be stronger, but we would also have enough to get over to our people, and we would never run out of juice in talking to our people. So our people are controlled today by a religious state. Religion, according to its etymological root, means at the base to relink or to rejoin up, to come together, to rejoin. That's really what religion is supposed to do. Religion, the African religion, is supposed to be able to be a tradition of demonstration, or a tradition of, I would say, rituals that pull you and pull me to our aboriginal state, that pulls us, leans us, shifts us towards our Africanness, our independence, our true selves. So the white man, this no good bastard, in giving us religion, in giving us Christianity, in giving us their version of Islam, I should say their version of Christianity, in giving us their version of Judaism, in giving us their versions of religion, the white man did not join us up to our own kind, did not relink us up to our true potential. The white man pushed us further away and broke our spiritual ties one to the other, and broke our cultural ties that connected us in struggle, in brotherhood, and in sisterhood, in making it illegal to read for, some say, a term of 300 years. Can you imagine not being able to read as a nation of people for 300 years? That you would see your family members and those who were brave enough to try to get some information in their heads because they knew what they were being told was wrong, being put to death for reading words and reading books. Can you picture that? Yes, you can, because today it seems like when you have some type of intellect, some type of intelligence, some type of brilliance, it seems like this society automatically begins to put you to death. And I don't mean in terms of plantation politics. I don't mean in terms of what they give you, reciting what they give you in the schools and curriculums. That's not necessarily brilliance. I'm talking about our African original traditions, old traditions, our original stances in biology, our original stances in chemistry, our original stances in mathematics and our expressions of algebra and geometry and trigonometry and what we produced and gave to the world, our original stances and sparks of brilliance that we gave to the world, healthcare with open heart surgeries and acupuncture. The Chinese didn't invent no damn acupuncture. The acupuncture and the knowing of what to do with the nerves and how you could heal human illnesses and human ailments with herbal medicines and herbal, you know, traditions, what to do. We didn't have all these medicines in the medicine cabinet in Africa. We didn't have that. We didn't have Paxos and Ritalins and all this other stuff that they tell you 20 years down the road, if you took it, it could cause blindness and cause your kidneys to shut down. And in men, it caused you to be impotent. Women caused you to be sterile and all this stuff. We didn't have all of that. And so today, you're punished for being brilliant in a true sense, in an African sense. You're punished. And then with your brilliant self in this system, even hell, even on certain levels, even with the white man's institutional knowledge, you go to get yourself a job and they tell you you're overqualified. So religion has broken us apart. And we are divided one against the other based upon labels and titles and deities or perceived deities. And so you often hear the Black Power General, Dr. Khaled Abdul-Muhammad, open up. He would say, regardless to land, regardless to label, regardless to language, I bear witness that there is but one God. He would immediately go to attack the divisions. Anybody who knew anything about the Black Power General, Dr. Khaled Abdul-Muhammad, and anybody who knows anything about our national chairman, Dr. Malik Zulu Shabazz, you know that the Black Power General and our national chairman hate division. If you are in the new Black Panther Party and you claiming you some Black Power General or some Dr. Attorney Malik Zulu Shabazz, you can't have no division. That just ain't going to work. You cannot be afraid to go amongst your people or to deal with people who have different outlooks or different perceptions or different insights than you and me. That's just not the way that the Creator made the Black Power General nor made our national chairman. Religion, as the white man has given it, has completely divided us as a nation and as a house. And so after 300 years of suffering and then not being allowed to read light and informational knowledge, they gave us versions of religion, versions of Bible, versions of Quran, and even in some cases, versions of Medunater. Gave us versions of it that worked in their interest because it had their interpretation. You read the Bible, for example, not solely example, but just a bright example. You read the Bible that says King James Version. King James Version. Whenever you deal with versions, versions change depending upon the position of an individual, depending upon the mindset of an individual, depending upon the circumstances when the information was presented to the individual. This was an authorized King James Version of what was said to be the word of God, or the word of the Creator, the words of the Supreme Being that's given to different men and women at different times for the advancement of civilization, chiefly Black civilization. And so King James put his twist on it. For those who used to sell drugs, they called it putting a cut on it, where you water it down, because if this is supposed to be the words that are to produce complete constructive change, revolution in the spiritual life, in the moral life, in the economic life, and in a social life, what do you need King James Version for? Some of the silly preachers will say it had to be translated over to English and this, that, and the other because, you know, we speak English. But if you read in the fine print of the Bible that tells you that those original copies were produced in Aboriginal languages. And what some say, they say, I don't say that, but they say Semitic languages. And so those were our languages. Those were the languages that we spoke before we were robbed of language. We already knew what the words said because we the ones wrote the words. We the ones put it together. And so King James put his version out there. And once you had the Council of Nicaea, and you had the Council of Constantinople, where they took our original traditions, yeah, and then begin to look all off into astrology and look all off into the stars, and they crafted a religious order based upon original African traditions and astrology, and then put it together as a King James version of Bible, and then gave it to black people. Think about this. And so our minds, number one, were never reacquainted, since religion is supposed to relink. Our minds were never reacquainted with ourselves, and then our minds were shot way off into the sky for mansions off in the sky somewhere. While they ruled us, while we were enslaved right here on the planet. And this happened in every branch of religion. Let's not even just say Christianity. Whitewash Christianity happened in every religion given to us that has been touched by the white man's hands. And so we couldn't read, given a version that was not our own version. Our African traditions were mixed up and fixed up, placed into these books, and given back to us in a watered-down form, mixed in with some astrology and some Greek history and all this type of stuff. And then, behind all of that, King James authorized, and then even in certain instances, from those who translated Quran, and I know some of you are getting mad, but I got to tell the truth. Some of those who translated Qurans and others, they instituted words into the books. In certain Medina terms or hieroglyphics that were said to come from the walls of our mother continents, when it got into the hands of the white man, they retranslated the words. And so when they would retranslate, and specifically when King James would retranslate the words, they would insert words like, if a man smack you, turn the other cheek. If someone takes your coat from you, then you offer them your other coat or your cloak. Okay, this is just for an example. And so coming up under this system and this order, we're being told now to turn the other cheek and to love our enemies. And they tell us that we are all God's children. But meanwhile, while they're telling us all this, they're whipping our black behinds with whips. You can't read. You're being killed for reading, killed for being hung for trying to get away from the plantation. You're being killed and murdered and maimed. And we're going through all of this. The black woman, her womb was cut open with knives. And when the young child, the young goddess or god would unfortunately fall to the ground, then the white man with his nasty, diseased boot would stomp on the head of our babies and the babies that come out of the womb of our queens, to show an example of his hatred and his brutality for the black man and black woman. This is all while giving us religion that says to turn the other cheek, to love our enemies, and that we are all God's children. when you watch the way that the white man deals with his enemies, and I'm saying the white man and white woman with it in mind that we have a black man in office. When you watch the way that the white man organizes against his or her enemies as a nation and a superpower infrastructure, they ain't turning no other cheek. Am I lying? They are not turning the other cheek. They have not turned the other cheek since I don't know when. They don't turn the other cheek. They don't love their enemies. When something happens against the enemies of the white man's nation, they send in their diplomats with strong words and try to make certain arrangements to break the will of whoever their opposers are and get them to concede right there at the table. And if there's no concession, they're at the table or they're in the meeting, then the next stage of that politic goes into physical encounters or warfare. Because warfare, physical warfare, is nothing but a continuation of politics. So once they send in the planes, once they send in the boats, once they send in the tanks, they blow their enemy to smithereens. That's right. Some of you got upset when you saw that organization, that white man with WikiLeaks. He was showing all these videos of what was happening overseas and how you had people who were in airplanes shooting down live civilians as if they were watching a video game. They were shooting them with live fire and ammunition. Some of you got upset, but that is an everyday occurrence that happens across the waters. It's an everyday occurrence what happens to black people in the cases of Rodney King, in the cases of Anthony Hill and Sean Bell, in the cases of Amadou Diallo, in the cases of James Byrd, in the cases of our women who are stabbed and drowned in the lakes, the brooks, the rivers, and the streams. These are everyday cases. And so the white man does not practice turn the other cheek, love your enemies. They blow their enemies to bits. Here we are, 500 years in to not only mental suffering, spiritual suffering, economic suffering, social suffering, but just straight up suffering on every level. 500 years we're in this. And you mean to tell me that you would still hold on to the white man's policy of turn the other cheek? That all that we have faced and all that we go through, it is not enough to make you to build up the new Black Panther Party to where the ranks are busting through the seams of the doors, to where it's standing room only wherever we are, to wherever we're to be found. Out of all that we have suffered, it is not enough for us to build a black power movement. I ain't just talking to people who are already registered in the Panther Party. I'm talking to those of you who's listening who ain't even helping the Panther Party. It's not enough for you to see us, your brothers and your sisters who came up in this mess just like you, swinging back at this crack, and you won't even get in the fight. Then as the Honorable Dr. Khalid Abdul-Muhammad taught us, and our national chairman teaches right now, you're mentally dead. You're ignorant and you're a house nigger. You're a butt-kissing, boot-licking Negro trying to hold on to the white man's world. The time for that is over, as Eldridge Cleaver used to say. The time for that is out. The time for just accepting whatever is heaped on us as a people That's out. The time for everything being whitewashed and us trying to be extra, to be integrated into the white man's world, that's out. We celebrated just a few days ago the partial victory of the revolution that's there in Kemet, or as the Greeks called it, Egypt. We celebrated the partial victory of the ousting of the U.S.-backed imperialist puppet, Hosni Mubarak. We celebrated. But you mean to tell me that there's not a revolution of our own that we have to celebrate, that we have to, number one, fight for in order to celebrate after 500 years? The youth that are there in Kemet today, although lighter than when Kemet was first organized as a nation, the youth that are there, they exist under many of the same circumstances that the black man and black woman exist under today in America. The youth that are there in Tanzania exist under the same social circumstances, much of which is happening to us right now in North America. And so we don't have anything to organize for. We don't have nothing to fight about. We don't have anything to rally about and demonstrate about. We don't have anything to defend. We're just supposed to be brothers and sisters wearing berets and walking around in boots and BDUs, and the rest of you look on, and then those of us that are in the boots and BDUs sit around aimless like there's nothing going on. I'm just talking generally. That's not what time it is. This is the hour and the time for a brand new black man and a brand new black woman. This is that time, because too many of you and us who suffer from emotional and mental damage at the hands of the white man and our oppressors, you won't let that old ideology die. You will not let that slave mentality die. You will not let your love for the beast and your love for the oppressor, your love for your natural 6,000-year enemy die. So it's time for a brand new black man and a brand new black woman, because it's clear that even some of our elders have punked out. It's clear that even though some of us have the heart to shoot and kill one another over shoes, and shoot and kill one another over clothes, and shoot and kill one another over words, and over Facebook beefs and things of this nature, that some in this very generation are cowards to your destiny of revolution, that many of us refuse to come up out of the grave of ignorance, and you're trying to pull us back down into a falling, decadent American system that has not worked for 500 years and has not worked up to this present day. It doesn't even work for the white man. The decadent American system does not work even for the Caucasian people. They beef over it. Why do you think WikiLeaks even happened? And he's over there. Why do you think he's going at them like that? Because it does not work. U.S. imperialism does not work. U.S. capitalism does not work. But it's being advanced as an agenda across the globe, and especially at the minerally rich, oil-rich lands of Africa and Aboriginal people. You're trying to pull us back into the grave with you. Some of you pro-black groups, you're trying to unite us into a burning house. The Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad, in later copies of Fall of America, had the words Fall of America and the State of America engulfed in flames. Some of you are trying to pull us into the graves with you. You're trying to integrate us into a society that has never loved us from the time we first got here, and does not love us from the time that we're here today. You are a dead man and a dead woman, and your ideas and your motives are that of a dead man and a dead woman. Well, if you want to remain dead, if that's what you want to do, we as the new Black Panther Party, under the leadership of Dr. and Attorney Malik Zulu Shabazz, we are not here to force you to come to life. We're not here to force you to wake up and be forced to accept the reality that no matter how much you bootlick and no matter how much you buck dance, no matter how much you act like little Black Sambo, that the white man will never accept you into the society as an equal. It is against his and her nature. It is against his and her nature. Why do you think President Barack Obama is getting so much heat? He's getting so much slack. Why do you think everything that he sends through the halls of Congress gets chopped up to shreds? Why do you think that he got to buck dance? He makes you all these promises in the beginning, as most politicians do anyway. And then as soon as he get in office, he got to change up. He got to switch up. He got to shuffle his feet. He got to scratch where he don't itch and laugh when ain't nothing funny. He got to maintain much of the status quo that was a part of the previous regime from the Bush administration just to appease those who are really in power in that office. Why do you think he got to do that? And so we're not here to force you to wake up. And to be honest, we don't even really need most of you who are too in love with the enemy. We are not under the illusion that everybody is strong enough to take the pro-Black revolutionary stance of the new Black Panther Party. We are not under the illusion that everybody understands what revolutionary Pan-Africanism is, that we are all one nation wherever we are to be found on the globe. But we do love you as our people. The same way that anything in nature, if it saw its own kind growing up with an enemy, would still have love for that which comes from its pride or its school or its pack. But when you draw the line in the sand and refuse to fight against that which has continuously kept us in the mud and kept us in the dirt and kept us in the ground, we don't need your white loving self or your enemy loving self. We don't need you. You become baggage to us. You don't have usefulness to the Black nation, who is struggling for independence and struggling for freedom and liberation and salvation and just struggling to be righteous in a wicked world. So we tell you, for those of you who, like Dr. Julia Hare say, 1 out of 10, sweethearting with white she-devils, for those of you that's doing that, continue to do that. Stay with her. Keep on looking at she-devil in the eye every morning that you wake up. Keep doing that. Keep smelling that stringy dog hair as she sweats, as she sleeps and whatnot. Keep on smelling that. Smell of dead flesh that's in that bed with you. Keep doing that. Because as the Honorable Dr. Khaled Abdul Muhammad taught, and our national chairman teaches us, that we are going to raise the level so high in North America and the world, and we're going to put so much consciousness out there for the people to grasp hold to, that if by chance you do get a hold of one of these vibrations or some of these vibrations, you're going to wake up out of your sleep and push that funky monster out of your home. You're going to drive her and drive him away from your very home and your very lifestyle. That's when you are awake, Black man and Black woman. But right now, while you're dead and you fight against the new Black Panther Party, we still love you as our family. But we are not here to force you. You're no good like that. Keep on defending our historical enemies. You're just a buck-dancing slave. And if you want to remain a slave, then stay a slave. We come at you in the spirit of Sister Harriet Tubman. that if you're going to roll on this railroad, this underground railroad, there ain't no going back. That's a word of warning to the wise, especially for those of you who have been inserted amongst us and you working with the enemy. There ain't no going back once you get on this underground railroad. Sister Harriet Tubman, when she would put you on the railway, she would say that if you're looking to get on this and you turn back, I got to put a bullet in your brain. That's Sister Harriet Tubman. If you get on this railway and you're looking to go back, and especially if you get involved with us in our 10-point platform, our 9 local objectives, and you really get involved with the aims and objectives of our program, but you're really working for the enemy, you're really reporting to the enemy, looking for weaknesses and flaws, and looking for ways to destroy the program, then I just tell you straight that we come at you in the spirit of Sister Harriet Tubman. We would definitely, to say the least, disassociate ourselves from you. You become a slave. You're a slave loving Negro talking about turn the other cheek. Love everybody and love your enemies. And they don't even practice that themselves. Hell, you got so many that will march and they'll chant, they'll demonstrate. You know what I mean? Picket and all this to the white man. You do all of that to the white man just for the white man to tell you no. Just for the white man to say no. You will march. I'm talking to you, some of you civil rights leaders out there. You will lead our people to marches and pickets and demonstrations only because you know the white man going to tell you no. We don't march and demonstrate just for the white man to tell us no. We march, demonstrate, and do much more than that to organize our people into an effective fighting force. Our program says that we will not beg the white man for that which we can unite and do for ourselves. We will not beg the white man for that which we can unite and do for ourselves. What are you begging him for? All our people went through civil rights, the civil rights era. Every time they would beg the white man for what we call our human rights or our God-given rights, they would sick police dogs on our behinds. They would sick the dogs on us and turn fire hoses on us just for begging, not even for accomplishing, just for begging the white man. You got hit with nightsticks and hit with billy clubs. And all the while, we sitting there saying, the Bible say turn the other cheek. The Bible say turn the other cheek. And say, in Islam, there is no color. And this, man, stop with the lies. Stop with the lies. All of that is good on paper, but you cannot, as our national chairman say, you cannot get the religion refused with reality. The reality is, holler if you hear me, the reality is that we are black and trapped in North America. And I ain't talking about that you can't get a plane ticket and get overseas. I'm talking about locked in our minds and locked with our behinds, locked in America. We have become so destroyed that we have become just as psychotic and chaotic as our enemy is. Loving our enemies to the point of even death. He's beating us all on our heads, shooting 50 shots at us, shoot us on the BART railway, like in the case of Oscar Grant. Men and women handcuffed behind their backs, killed, no longer here on this physical plane, and many of you would still have us to beg and picket and march and beg the white man for that which we can unite and do for ourselves. You're crazy. You're idiotic. You're insane. Because for real, the only time that the white man even intended to talk some turn the other cheek was when it came to them. As long as we were brutalizing each other, now mind you, during slavery times, when the slave master, what we call the cracker man with the cat of nine tails, with the whip, when he would get tired of whipping the slave and trying to put the slave in check and make the slave capitulate, he would turn the whip over to one of his trusted house Negroes. And he would make the house Negro whip the slave who was resisting and being rebellious to the white man's order. He would make the house Negro do the dirty work of the slave master, because the slave master physically was not stronger than the black slave, could not physically outrun the black slave, could not even outthink the black slave in truth, even in that decrepit state. And so the white man would make his house Negro, one of his own trusted, one of those what they call light-skinned brothers, sisters, no offense, but that's what he chose. Because William Lynch divided us on our skin color, our hue, and he said he exalted the light. He exalted the light skin above the dark skin. And so in the book, Destruction of Black Civilization, Dr. Chancellor Williams, he talks about the mulatto. Oh, yeah, he does. He talks about the mulatto in his book, Destruction of Black Civilization. But I'm just making the point to say that the slave master would exalt the light over the dark and cause the light to whip the slaves and keep them in check. And then today in 2011, you have the light of us, because we come in different shades and hues, not all lights, just generally speaking, those in power. You have the lights that are exalted over the dark, and the lights are used, those with lighter skin or lighter hues are used to whip the more resistant or more rebellious of us, even the more resistant, more rebellious of us who are light-skinned or have light hues. Okay? The situation of the house Negro and the field Negro has not changed at all. And so here you come, you all brain dead and sissified and punctified. You all bloodied up and bruised up and bandaged up, and then you still talking about turn the other cheek. But then when it comes to your own people, and then some of you even in black organizations, you talk all this talk about what you're going to do to the white man and how the white man did this and how the white man did that, but you're going to make a stance against the white man. When we pull your record and we pull your account, we look at your actions, you ain't made not one stand against the white man. But when it comes to black organizations, when it comes to black leaders and black teachers and black men and women that are struggling for their freedom, or when it comes to somebody that you don't like, you're all about getting at you some black men and some black women. The old story goes that you can tell a lot about a man or about a woman by who their enemies are. And so for some of you out there, with your so-called black organizations, we can tell a lot about you by who your enemies are. We can tell those of you who have been sent amongst us, because the only enemy that you're disturbing, or the only individuals that you are disturbing, is from your own kind. The white man ain't nowhere near bothered by you at all, because in truth, you work for them. And in truth, you're a part of their plan and their objective. You ain't turning the other cheek to your own people. You ain't pro-black to your own people. You pro-white to the white man. You turn the other cheek to the white man. This is the absolute real black man and black woman. For some of us, the beast can literally spit in our faces. Literally cock back, knock a loogie, and spit in your face. And you would turn the other cheek. You would laugh it off. You would be quick to apologize before the white man or white woman can even get the word, whatever they could possibly say, up out of their mouth. Really shouldn't be able to say nothing at that point. But you'll apologize. You'll say, "I'm sorry for you spitting on me." White man can step on your foot at the club. You will apologize. "Please forgive me for you stepping on my foot." But when it comes to a black man and a black woman, if a black man even mistakenly, as they call it, gleeked on you, open their mouth in a stream of moisture just accidentally, not even gets on your face, it might even got on your ankle or something, you ready to go get your guns. You ready to go kill you some black people. Black man, black woman, step on your shoes in the club, step on your shoes out in the streets, you up in arms. Talking about, "I can't believe that nigga did what he did. I can't believe that so-and-so did what she did." It is because we have been made slaves in 2011. We love the enemy. We're self-hating. We love them more than we love ourselves. Only you who are mentally lost start talking about, "We don't need a revolution. We don't need a new Black Panther Party. What do you need? What is the relevance of the new Black Panther Party?" And here we give you dozens and dozens of facts and stats and statistics and all this stuff. And as the Black Power General said, we kick to you the ballistics. And you still with your slave mind and slave mentality are talking about what's the relevance of a new Black Panther Party. Some of you have even gone as far as to take on the language of the white man in terms of against the new Black Panther Party. That's like you, what I call you chicken and a biscuit Negroes, those Negroes who was working against their own people to help that old slave having George Washington, or those who ultimately turned against Nat Turner, those who ultimately turned against the Honorable Marcus Mosiah Garvey. You chicken and a biscuit Negroes. We're not here to force you to love yourself. But we are here to promote black love and a pro-black ideology that will wake you up if you will accept it. If you would begin tonight, if you do have a blonde-haired, blue-eyed, pale-skinned, buttermilk-complected Jesus in your house, if you would just begin tonight to throw that in the garbage, you're taking a step in the right direction. That is in contradiction to the woolly head, burnt skin, as they say, burnt in an oven, according to even how King James had to give it. Burnt. Jesus or Yahshua or Isa in some languages. That was there, that was that figure that comes from your history of Haru and your traditions. Huh? That's all us. That's all talking about us and our ascension to power, our rise to power. We do more damage with this peace-loving, quote-unquote, non-violent way of integrationist thinking than you do when you say revolution is the only solution. Freedom or death, separation and independence, black laws for all black people. That's the way you got to start thinking and talking, black man and black woman. Otherwise, you'll just be a slave sitting there watching your brothers and your sisters and your children being attacked by the white races that are sitting right up there in the police force, sitting right up there on the judge's bench, sitting right up there in the lawyer's chambers, sitting right up there in the doctor's office. You would just be a punk, a nonviolent, weak sissy and a punk sitting there watching your enemies destroy your nationhood, destroy your manhood, destroy your sisterhood. And I say that if you are that damn dumb to watch your enemies destroy you, you deserve to be beaten in your head by your enemies. You deserve a billy club upside your head. You deserve it. It should have been you instead of Oscar Grant. It should have been you, you weak-minded Negroes and slaves and white-loving individuals. It should have been you that was there instead of our warriors and freedom fighters like Chairman Fred Hampton Sr. and Minister Huey P. Newton and so many others that we have lost. It should have been you, because you don't deserve to breathe the air that God has given us to be replicas of himself, gods and goddesses from the first black man and woman that came into existence. I know that's harsh for some of you, but you need that. You need that, because maybe that billy club, maybe that 9mm Glock pistol, maybe those AR-15s, maybe those SWAT units and tactical units and DEAs and FBIs and all of that that they send at you, maybe that will put some sense in your black behind and black head and in our black minds. Maybe that if you would begin to deal with your religion as we do in the new Black Panther Party and our spiritualities, because there's a difference. Maybe if you would begin to deal with it from a pro-black theology, maybe it would be enough to wake you up. If you would stop saying that you got to love your enemies and begin to say, I got to love myself. I got to love my people. I got to love my neighborhood. I got to love my family. Got to love black. If you would begin to say that to yourself, maybe you can shake off the racist insertion of love your enemies. As the Honorable Dr. Khaled Abdul Muhammad say, and our national chairman definitely says, and the new Black Panther Party should be saying it, that we want to be good believers. And whatever our spiritual path is, whether we are revolutionary Christians, whether we're revolutionary Muslims, whether we're revolutionary Hebrews, whether we're revolutionary Buddhists, whether we're revolutionary atheists, whatever the hell you are, you should be trying to be good at whatever you're trying to do. And we say that, yes, you should pray for your enemies. Very much so. Pray for your enemies. Meditate for your enemies. Sing songs and do chants for your enemies. But don't meditate, pray, and chant and sing songs for your enemy for their success. Pray for your enemy's destruction. Pray and meditate and chant. Buddhist, revolutionary Buddhist, chant for your enemy's destruction. Revolutionary Christian, pray for the enemy's destruction. Revolutionary Muslim, make salat for your enemy's destruction. Revolutionary atheist, hell, scientifically work towards your enemy's destruction. You got to work for the destruction of the enemy. You got to stop saying that we are all God's children and just know that you are a part of the black nation, because, hell the white man worships many gods. On the back of the dollar bill, they tell you, in God we trust, but it's obvious that we are not following, or we are not replicas of the same creator by a long shot at all. How is it, as Minister Malcolm X used to say, that the predator and the prey can have the same God? How does the predator and the prey have the same God and the same spiritual power for religion? No matter let's say that the lion and the deer, they both have the same spiritual path, and both of them are praying to the Creator for blessings. Regardless to what they pray for and what their meditation is, that lion is praying that he or she is able to eat that deer. And that deer is praying or meditating, just for an example, that he or she can get away from that lion. You cannot get away from having a natural enemy. There's no such thing as all of us just being all of God's children and you don't have a natural enemy. Regardless to what the spiritual circumstances, the social economic circumstances is, you must have a struggle for power, a struggle for balance. Wherever, as our national chairman has taught, that the black-white dynamic exists, and this is in wrapping it up, wherever it exists, you find whites on the top and blacks on the bottom. If it is a Judeo-Christian nation, like what we have or what they have, let me be correct, what they have here in the hills and smells of North America, you find the white man on the top and you find the black man on the bottom, black man and black woman on the bottom. The white man and white woman is on the top and the black man and black woman is on the bottom. If it is a just strictly Christian nation, the white Christian is on the top. The black Christian is on the bottom. If it is a Muslim nation or a Muslim country, the white Muslim is on the top. The black Muslim, is on the bottom. If it is a Hebrew or so-called Jewish nation, the white Hebrew or so-called Jew is on the top, and the original true black Jew or Hebrew is on the bottom. If it is a socialist country, for those of you pushing socialism, the white socialist is on the top and the black socialist is on the bottom. If it's a communist country, the white communist is on the top, the black communist is on the bottom. At the end of it all, my brothers and sisters, in order to stop the destruction of black civilization, we must begin to love ourselves. We must begin to unite with ourselves. We must have more love for our own kind than we have love for our enemy. We must begin to organize, push to swell the ranks of the new Black Panther Party past any other rank out there, any other organization out there, black, white, red, or yellow. Swell the Black Power movement to its fullest potential and let us back the leadership of the most uncompromising, boldest leader on the scene today, trained in the mold of a bold, dynamic Black Power general. I'm talking about our national chairman, Dr. and Attorney Malik Zulu Shabazz, in the spirit of the Honorable Dr. Khalid Abdul Muhammad. Make sure that you join us this Wednesday for another power-packed edition of Black Power Radio as we come to you, representing to you the truth as given to us by the Black Power general, the Honorable Dr. Khalid Abdul Muhammad, and represented to you by our National Chairman, Dr. Attorney Malik Zulu Shabazz. The website's newblackpanther.com, and to join, it's nbpphq@yahoo.com. Black Power.
In this motherfucking life, I believe. Hella motherfucking roadblocks and crooked cops. We still ride, though. West side. West side. I want money in large amounts. My garage full of cars that bounce. Moving my face in major way, cause every dollar counts. But jealous and half these niggas is pumped. They running off at the mouth till I fill it up with my pump. They jump my automatic, keep them wary while you frontin' like you really badass. Nigga, you scary. I've been knowing you for years. We was high school peers.